Morning, everybody. We have a new member, and I always think it's great to do self-introductions, and we'll go around the table if you don't mind.
Sure.
And Tim, why don't we start with you real quick?
Yeah, Tim Clark with Keller Williams, Temple City. Been a resident of West End for who knows how long. Also, I had a different type of business with my wife down there, so we were very active in the Edgewater area.
Yeah, good morning. Samantha Ross with Washington Federal Bank in West. I pretty much feel like I'm a resident there because I work so much. Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'll start with myself then. I live in West Salem, and I do work for DaVita, which is opening a clinic there in West Salem. And I've been in West Salem for about 2 years now. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Welcome.
Thanks.
Dwayne Hilty, I work for Salem Leadership Foundation, and so West Salem is my area.
Okay.
But I also live there, and so I've lived in the URA, and yeah, just love Edgewater. So I'd like to see its place develop.
Great.
Trace Van Vliet, staff assistant.
I'm Brandon Ballman. I've got a small office on Patterson, and then live in West Salem.
John Hannon, work for Goodwill, so I kind of help operate the Goodwill in West Salem, but I live up in Portland.
Okay.
Mike Pennington, I work for Truett Brothers, we're a food manufacturer here in West Salem, and I also live in West Salem for about the last 10 years, previously from Ohio.
Okay. Very good.
My name is Jeff Miller, and I am a commercial real estate broker at Coldwell Banker Commercial, live in West Salem, really involved in the West Salem area, and the high school, and kind of all over in that area, so I sure love it over there.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Morning, I'm Troy Banfrey. I work here as well. Manage the West Salem and Ringville area and projects in the Three Points.
And we have a couple members that are missing. Mark is, he'll be here. He's usually 5 to 6 late. But he'll be here likely. And Mark is a West Salem resident and also is owns real estate in the URA. Specifically the old Rain Suite building, which is right down the road from you. Kathy, who is not here, likely won't be here, has been sick a little bit lately. And she is not a West Salem resident, but has been really involved in West Salem and helped out a lot with Goodwill. I guess it's on the board or something, is that
yep,
right?
That's right.
Yeah. And who else? We're missing Nick, is that right? What's that? Nick is not here, but you'll meet all three of these at some point. But anyway, Nick.
Nick's Nick.
Yeah, Nick is Nick, and he lives in West Salem. I think he works from home, and so fun character. You'll like all of them. So anyway, with that, just a quick roll call, if we could, please, even though we've already done it.
So West Salem Redevelopment Advisory Board, February 5th, 2020. Jeff Miller.
Here.
Nicholas Bondogwin, not present. Brandon Fallman?
Here.
Kathy Goss, not present. John Hannum?
Here.
Alina Hideki?
Hideki.
Hideki.
But here.
Dwayne Hilty?
Here.
Tim Clark?
Here.
Mark May, not present. Mike Pendleton?
Here.
Samantha Wells?
Here.
Well, again, welcome everyone. It seems like it's been forever. It's been, do we have a December meeting?
December,
yeah. It was January. Wow. It's too late to say Happy New Year, so I won't say it. But
and we have a guest.
Oh, we have a guest.
Yep.
Yeah, please.
Wow.
What's that?
I'm just watching him.
You're welcome to jump in and say anything you want until we close the chapel. Quiet time. Perfect. Thank you for coming. Everyone have an opportunity to look over the agenda, any deletions or additions? If not, perhaps someone has a motion, I'd love to hear.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes presented.
A second.
We're
number two agenda.
It's okay.
Oh, did you already get it? Never mind.
So we have a first by Tim and a second. Who seconded? Samantha?
Yeah.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Moving right along. item number three.
Yeah, I'm making a motion on the minutes, Scott.
What?
Yeah, no, I'm making a motion to accept the minutes.
I second.
Mike Dennison seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Public comment? No, darn it, we were expecting public comment.
Every public comment.
That's nice of that.
Yeah, right. Number five, we don't have any action items, so we're zipping right through the agenda, which is always enjoyable. And now we're moving on here, number six, any, there's 2020 fiscal budget. Tori wanted to jump in and add some things.
So is that time of year? So this is a reminder, we're on a fiscal year, but so it goes July to July. So it's kind of weird when we're in a project because we're still in the fiscal year 1920 until we get through June. So we're getting ready for the next fiscal year, 2020-2021. So in preparation for that, we have kind of our high-level discussion of kind of things that we're anticipating going into that and how we're allocating funds. So we take it through you guys as an advisory board. You make recommendations. When we get into March is when we'll have like the action-oriented budget discussion. So then, you know, if you support the budget as it's proposed, then make our recommendation that gets incorporated into the overall agency, or agency and city council budget. So it's a matter of process. Typically,
Morning, Nick.
7:37.
So we usually miss the January meeting because the first Monday of the month, and it's been around that time period that we had a holiday. So we get right to it in February because March is when we tend to, we can push it out a little bit later, but if we push it out past March, April, May, you can imagine it'd be hard to work budget elements into the overall city budget approaching June, because that's when everything has to be done, take care of, especially out in the city. So in anticipation of that, I have attachments, if you want to look at it. Rather than the simple format of just how the projects are laid out, I put a memo together describing some of the background. So I figured, we'll have Renee in the next meeting, Renee is a financial guru in our office, she usually comes every March, and she'll get into the details, so if you have specific questions, she can answer those. So right now, this is just a high-level discussion of really carrying over a lot of elements that we've had in the previous budgets. So background, of course, everything we do goes back to the urban renewal plan that was started in 2001. So that kicked off the organization of the advisory board. We completed some projects between 2001 to 2016 when we did the action plan. Action plan was just, again, a refocus. You know, now that we paid down some projects we completed, what are the priorities? What's the market environment? So recommendations came out of that, and so we've been building on those, you know, kind of budget framework from those recommendations. So like Second Street, for example, Second Street Northwest, we've been setting, we have made recommendations over the last two fiscal years to set aside, we have roughly $3 million set aside for design and construction of Second Street. We've had conversations recently, I want to say it was probably October, November timeframe, where we've had a lot of development interest in properties that used to be occupied by Oregon Fruit along what would be Second Street. Second Street doesn't exist through there. So the areas that we're talking about are over here. There is a half improvement in the Goodwill built as a piece of their development. But on the opposite side is Grand Street. And then obviously through pouring through the tree through here. So we're talking any improvement, any development that comes in here, Grand Street works, switch over, redevelop, all of them we required to build a half street improvement in case of rain sweep, full street improvement in case of rain sweep. And there's a public benefit we've been talking about for a long time about having additional connectivity for local traffic. We talk about it being an east-west connection, but Marine Drive is tied up in politics on the island. So we focused on the west section, what we're referring to as the west section of Second Street, as one of the earlier urban renewal projects. We have completed a section of Second Street to Headwaters, which we did. The rest of Second Street would be a little different than what you see over here. There's 45 degree angle parking. Just given the location, as it gets close to Headwaters, there's a need for Second Street to have different fields. As you get down through the common area, it's more of a credible parking, more of a standard street. So we are working, we had an initial estimate, really high level, just to get a sense from all these pre-application meetings I was attending, interest in developing, redoing a lot of these vacated old food processing facilities, just to get a sense of what that might cost. So we're around $4 to $5 million mark. We have a more refined cost estimate now, so that's what I included in here. So that's number one on the memo.
$7.6 million.
Yeah, so we have $3 million set aside, so we could move ahead with design and keep preparing for construction. So the way that's set up right now is, you know, with that $3 million set aside, I'm suggesting, and hope you guys to discuss, continue to set aside money, so it would be an additional $1 million for this next fiscal year. And then during this fiscal year, we can start doing the design, and that's roughly $900,000 in this case. So we would be, as far as going forward with the design, we would work with Public Works, Engineering, get a consultant. All those things we'd be bringing to you guys, not so much for action, because following the budget recommendation, that would be the action. It'd be more just an update. So as we're moving along, I have a calendar as we get to that point of the agenda, that sense of updates as we go. So as far as like consultant, engineering consultant selection, we update you guys, and we have them come out and do an update on what they're finding, the design. And then as we get into like construction phase, we update on those things too. So that's the first section, is continue that set aside of $3 million and keep adding to it so we can pay for these improvements. And then on number two, before I move to that, does anybody have any questions on number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it not that we were saving the $3 million for the second street crossing?
It's all Second Street related, but if we, so we can just keep setting aside and not doing anything with it. I don't know when. This gets back to those as a reminder. Initially, Second Street is planned to go all the way through and connect to the east side of Wallace. And we're looking at undercrossing, so you could go under Wallace and get back up. Marine Drive would be on the east side and adjacent to Wellspring Park, and that's where it's in. So we got to continue to save and assume that Marine Drive will get itself worked out. I think this is just more of kind of chipping away. It's still a piece of that broader puzzle, and we can still plan for that under piece and connect into Marine Drive. But this is just trying to accomplish what we can do while it's, you know, financially, the undercrossing is an unknown. Politically, Marine Drive is an unknown. So we're dealing with the notes, I guess. And we're trying to get a public improvement to offset, you know, kind of encourage the redevelopment of the old food processing.
In addition to that, was it that we also recommended to continue to Second Street all the way around to Glen Creek?
Yep, all the way around to Marine Drive, to Glen Creek.
So the idea is that we're looking from Kirk all the way to Glen Creek as a Second Street project.
So in total, as like, that's what you guys have made as a recommendation to support. As we're talking right now for the budget purposes, so that would still be in mind, but right now we're moving with the west section, not so much with because the undercrossing, we can't pick up as a urban renewal project outside of our financial capabilities.
Can we break that down in phases for the Second Street crossing?
So we could do, so like in this case, we could do this west section and have that ready. So what it will require is we'll be building two grade. So if we get to a point where, you know, Marine Drive is worked out and we can put the money together and make that project feasible, we'll have to tear out sections of the Marine, or the Second Street to go under.
Well, it will be.
Yeah, and we will.
And what we added to it.
If we do that, yeah.
Right. And then, so I was thinking if this would be instead of the Second Street crossing in phases, just like, you know, we'll close Third Street.
Sure.
But it'd be in phases, and then that way it's still under the idea that down the road it's going to be a crossing.
Yeah. Yes.
If we do it that way, instead of doing Second Street separate section, if we're going to use the $390 that's earmarked for the crossing.
Right. So, and even in the case of Second Street, so we're looking at, most immediately we have, so to answer to the question, well, it's, we can pay the whole thing.
Do it that way, or we can do it separate, right?
Right. We can do the whole thing and just keep saving away until we have enough to pursue grants and federal and ODOT funding to help us bridge the crossing.
Yeah. Which we'll have to do anyway. There's,
yeah, we're going to have to say that.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It'll take us, or we could build sections, and so even with Second Street,
$50, I mean $1 million a year.
I'm thinking if we build sections, it would be something that we could show the federal government that we're making progress to tie this all in.
Right.
Just my train of thought on this.
Yeah.
I remember when the project was an $8 million project.
Yeah, so
then it went $30 million, then it went up rise.
Yeah. Yeah, and even right now. Yeah, so the estimates have come back high, like construction costs are just expensive.
It's very expensive right now.
And right now, $7 million, this is at contingency. We found two and we did additional research. We have utilities that have done this section of road, so we have water sewer that wasn't anticipated. So there were things that came out of digging deeper, and so that's represented in the cost. But construction costs in general, there.
$900,000 is just designed the Second Street from
Wallace to Girth West.
Is that a private contract estimate, or is that?
That's internal.
That's what?
Internal.
Internal.
Engineering. Yeah.
So how many blocks is that, too?
So
the total cost, they all are.
So that's,
well, I'll design for you.
I'm just going to walk out there.
Right,
I
can pay them.
Draw what you need.
Yeah. So that's the third scale in contingency two. So that's a little bit higher than, I think we had 20% initially when we're looking at it.
Because what was the other area? Because you did the first project was the Second Street from Safeway to wherever, how far did you go on that one?
Close to Earth. So we'd be connected the other way.
Yeah. So that was like a $2 million project, right? And that was 10 years ago, so that's what the inflation is. It's a
small exception.
So it was graveled and everything. So it was already where they didn't have to tear anything up. It was just kind of built it. It was all gravel from Girth to Safeway.
Yeah, Girth to Wallace needs, I mean, my assumption is it needs more work. I mean, there's more improvements that would have to go into that area.
Yeah, so there's a section of road that haven't been built to standards, so we'll have to, from Girth to what?
Can you zoom out?
Through here? There's sections that aren't built to standards, there's road sections that aren't built at all.
Brandon, you had a question?
Yeah, is it always public work constructing stuff in the right of way?
No, so they'll help manage the project. Okay. It could be the public works project, or depending on their staff capacity, they could outsource it.
So they typically will just quarterback it, and then private contractors might come in.
Yeah, correction, it's four blocks if you're going from Wallace to Girth.
But some of it's already paved, right? You had to repave the...
Yeah, it's not built to standard. It was just put in to accommodate the movement. Because it was gravel. It was the railroad and it was gravel.
No, Girth said Wallace.
Okay.
It was four blocks. The other one was, it had to be up to standard with new storm drains and everything. With the area that's already paved from Girth to Patterson, is there capacity upgrades to that, water sidewalks and storm drains and all that kind of stuff.
So on top of phasing, not to confuse, so if you have the whole length, so if we do all of Second Street from Earth under Wallace around to Glen Creek, that's kind of a full project. And now we're talking about phasing that sort of the west section, and then we can still talk about undercrossing and when Marine Drive gets worked out, we can connect there. So west section, we're even thinking about phasing. Most immediately, Wallace to Patterson would get done first, and then because we have paving from Patterson to Earth, that would just remain until we're, you know, 5 years, so we can start doing that construction. So yeah, we'd tear it out. It's not the standard, so we'd have to go with the standard.
And if we said, go, we have the money now, would it be a shot down? There's not like a, you don't have to go through a transportation action plan for the approved and wait like.
The Second Street section that we're talking about is in the system plan, where it gets a little gray is connecting around to Marine Drive.
So we can do Girth to Wallace, no problem.
Okay.
There's not going to have to be any transportation, because I remember we always have these great plans, and then there's something else that you have to get approval from another committee, and then.
Yeah, so the transportation system plan is what's kind of, it was the next hurdle for us to do the crossing to Marine Drive. So that part wasn't flushed out in detail at that point. So that's still going to have to get worked through, and we'll be working that through. But this section's already in it. So
okay.
Now it's just a matter of having the money and having the resources to design and construct it.
Tori, the section right there, between Oregon Fruit, that Oregon Fruit is now officially closed, as I understand
right.
it.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
What's that?
I thought there was a new business or something.
I'm not sure. They're talking about finding out what
they're going
to do. Medical facility, yes. And are they at the table for grant dollars?
So, if they were to do changes to the building, then we would, they haven't approached us yet. You know, assuming Second Street's in and they find a different use, they want to build something different, and that's where our grant would fit.
So regarding Second Street there, is there any right-of-way that would need to be acquired? In other words, where you guys are in that boat trust building just to the north, right?
Yeah.
Is there, does it affect Truett's in that? Is it wide enough? Is what I'm getting
at? Yeah, so when we did our feasibility study, we have the right-of-way width, so we have encroachment permits, both for Oregon Fruit and Truett to kind of store things in there. So we have to approach that and talk about, like, you know, these things to make sure it's not going to put in construction. But
what do you guys have going in that area? Do you utilize that Second Street area?
I mean, listen to this conversation, I was going to go back and talk to a few folks to see if it sure affects us in any way.
Yeah.
We talked about those power poles and everything that
are in that area. We'll be coming around to talk. This right now has been an internal, like, we're talking financing, so we've been talking with this group, and then seeing from a management perspective, from a work perspective. So now that everything's getting a little bit more traction to it, that's your challenge.
It would be interesting to me to have some sort of analysis that says if Second Street goes in, from Wallace to Girth, if that's going to incentivize someone to do some development, or for the Oregon Fruit Group, new ownership, redevelop that, and then if that was the case, what would that mean as far as additional taxation that would come into us or come into this
cover? Oregon Fruit, Craft Industrial, whether they're not in that.
Their town center, isn't it?
There's Second Street, Edgewater, mixed use.
That's the one that, that one group, what was that one developer?
Deacon.
Mm-hmm. Was interested if they could go up 6-7 stories plus four apartments, which would have been fantastic.
I would say,
what if that's not happening?
That's
not happening.
Is it the fire?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what it was. Maybe someone else does.
I don't know. I know they're it's never really looking at a lot of location, I'm not sure what. And we've had conversations through the Edgewater Second Street mixed-use area. We have a 50-foot height limit. I knew that was an issue. You can do a variance of a higher. We landed on a 50-foot limit. We were trying to push with some code cleanup in 70s, trying to get above like 3 floors. There were concerns in the residential area of height, but since this is, you know, closer to downtown and kind of industrial, industrial area, there would probably be that height constraint. So I don't know structurally they found that maybe it wasn't enough to support going that high. I don't know, maybe. So we have had conversations with these property owners along those lines. Like, you know, if we're going to do a $7 million lift, we're going to want like a strip mall going in or something like that. Nice to like have an incentive. Like this is a public benefit project. Hopefully we'll encourage a redevelopment project that would, you know, to your point, help offset the costs. So we're having those conversations. We look from a legal perspective. I mean, there are agreements, but to enter into like some of the conditions or promos, people aren't going to get into that. So it's more of a good faith kind of arrangement. So we are talking to them and we hope to kind of arrive to understanding so that we do pursue the project and have development outcomes that will help the district.
Is there, once that happens, the half street is done. So taking a step back, Goodwill had to pay to have it done. If now we as a group decide, hey, let's just go ahead and finish it, is there a mechanism in which a developer is going to come in and they're going to reap the reward of that where Goodwill did not? Is there an SDC charge or something that then is forgiven? Or in other words, is it going to be less expensive for someone to develop that second portion, whereas what Goodwill did, it cost them additional?
It'll definitely be beneficial because, like Rain Suite, for example, they'll still have Burlark improvements. They'll still have that Third Street.
Yeah, I guess I was looking.
So they still have all their other. So because we are doing the Second Street lift, that they, you know, Rain Suite were to go through with a new development project, part of that development project would be their half street improvement, just like Goodwill had to do their half street improvement. But if we do it, then that encourages this more money for them to dedicate to a project.
I see.
Is there a derelict of your building that you can force them to do stuff?
There probably is.
There's holes in that wall, so it's like, I don't know. At what point, like, you can just wait and wait and just hope the city takes care of your projects for you? Is that a possibility?
I don't know.
Like, where like the famous building and like
just building on Edgewater that would prove the point that it would be a long time. Like you can, my understanding is you can patch it really quick. You're covered, so that zone wise you're fine, but you're still a derelict building. But
building is safe. As soon as you appease the building is safety, then you're good to go. You can let it sit forever. Whereas we tried to look at coming on it and condemn it, and you fix it up.
Right.
So it still sits.
I know that they're looking to do things, and in the conversation, you know, Second Street helps that. I know it's an expensive endeavor for the development idea they're considering. So to help offset things we go all range together.
I was more concerned about the Oregon Fruit buildings and that little section, that pit right there. Section. Well, that's the...
No, the green is
the
green.
And then the one behind it there.
Yeah.
It would be great to do something, Blaine. You were going to add something.
Well, I think my question is, how much... I don't know if the word is authority, but... How much can we shape what we want to see that area, what we want to see happen there? My concern is this. Let's say I think the Second Street, doing the phase, I think it's a good idea. My concern is we get that finished and then a strip mall or something just comes in that really isn't what we're trying to create in the area. So,
Zoning takes a fetch on that.
Right.
That's the one that if you're looking for something on this committee, it's the zoning of that area to appease a developer to come in. You can't really tell what developer's going in.
Sir, Tori?
Yeah.
Have you been on the pre-app meetings with the developer for that area? So we can make a public records request to get that if we want to see what's going on?
Yeah, you can see the request. I'm not sure. I know those are typically confidential. Obviously, it's a public. I don't know how much this is going to.
Well, I can just call Chris Blackburn and figure out what he's doing.
I know that he has like an early idea until things get flushed out, and then I don't know if he's completely found out.
Yeah. Well, maybe if that Dwayne is, you know, concerned, we can figure out what he's planning on doing. Not that it's going to make, you know, if he does do something different, like you're saying, and we go through and improve a street, he's going to cut out sections where there's a driveway approach or, you know, tear stuff out.
Yeah.
So if he's already got something that's feasible, which, I mean, right now, that property just got purchased into an opportunity zone fund, it looks like, is the way it looks. So he's got 2 years to improve it. And so that's likely going to trigger all these street improvements.
From what date?
From what I understand with the IRS stuff, and I'm not a CPA, but once you start a fund, you've got 6 months basically to put money in the fund, and then that property has to own at least 90% of its assets in real estate in one of the zones. Like, there's like two times throughout the year that it has to hit those marks, and then the property itself has to be improved in 2 year period in order for you to qualify for the tax benefits of the zone. So it's likely that whole big section, they'll have to improve at least whatever the value of the buildings are, which, as you can see, there's not much value there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's, you know, what you could look at, like, the tax summary report on Polk County's website, see what the value of the building's on, and then he has to spend at least that amount. But my guess is, because Chris has done apartments, he did where Chicha is, he did that whole area there, Little Lois. So I'm sure he's got something interesting planned.
So a clarification, we're talking about that one and this piece.
This is also.
Yeah, it's all part of that too.
Yep.
This one's really challenging. The site, like Google, had to deal with the floodplain issues. So as you get into sections of it, you know, all this property is important. They have.
So you can tear down that building, lose it, or fill in that hole.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So there's a lot that has to happen here to make that one feasible.
Yeah. And I guess I just share, I don't want to hamstring if there's one developer that comes in. I just feel like we're sitting on, like, that industrial area is, it's a gold mine, right? And we're not going to push anybody out, but it will be developed over the next 15, 20 years. My concern is it just happens in little shotgun things, and it just doesn't have a cohesive vision, where I just feel like we have a really good opportunity to set pretty cohesive, pretty big vision for West Salem. And I think that's kind of what I heard when Deacon came and visited. They were really talking about doing like a $60 million project. That's too big for what we're looking at, but they're talking about doing something big enough that it would capture a whole area.
Yeah. So, again, with doing the Second Street improvement, I also work with Public Works to incorporate like streets and components. So, you know, we talk about having, like, keeping with the water feel, so we can have streetscape elements, like, same kind of light fixtures and things like that. So we could lay down the groundwork and say, no, this is a unique district, and then we already have zoning in place, so we make an effort to, I'll be tracking every project, so I'm happy to meet you guys, and if you, you know, as it goes from the more kind of confidential gratification meeting to site plan review, then it's probably going to be in the space. So we can do the Second Street improvement, kind of help set that tone, for a district in a district that we're looking to have that continuation of that water and have unique district feel for that, but by laying it out on the street. and then also have them see the table and come and just, you know, hopefully influence the outcome of the development project as it is. So we'll get to that point.
I got to go back to that Second Street crossing. If we're using the funds to do this for this part of Second Street, my concern is maybe we need to revisit it and take a look at it. How far, I thought it only went to Patterson Street, the initial crossing, the improvements that was put in the plans from Patterson to the other side of Wallace Road. I didn't think that from Girth to Patterson was part of that Second Street crossing.
It was part of it,
Just for reference, to make sure that we don't have to go back and try to go through the process of adding those two blocks in. And that way we don't have to concern Nick with going with other committees. I just wanted to make sure.
You've been here longer than I have, and I don't know. You still have optimism that something's actually going to work out, so.
So it only goes to Patterson.
So that's the main structural piece, our conceptual one has to go all the way through. So this was the one that we looked at that specifically because we started right now. So that's, it's a yes and no. The whole project is the full length of Second because we have to get that to standard. So it goes all the way to Girth, but in the case instances of the feasibility for engineering, we were looking at the main sections that would start to ramp down and go under. So that's why it stops it.
Right, that's for a lot. So it didn't actually go to Patterson. So that
for feasibility, but for our areas.
Took me long so we do this.
And Tim, what was your question? Sorry.
Well, the idea is if we're using funds that we earmarked for the Second Street crossing, that we save this with the potential of that happening. And if we're now looking at it to where we want to do the improvements from Wallace to Girth on Second Street using these funds, it has to be in the plan. And if it's not in the plan, then either you're going to do it in segments that we can use the money for part of it for to Murlark, and then just like the improvements we did from Girth to Rosemont years ago, that was a separate project in itself, and we had to go get a bond just for that part of it. So it's a two-part deal unless you put it all into one, and then we can go to phasing to the Second Street crossing and then be able to do it and use the money that we earmarked. But if you don't, then you have to have two separate things, two separate projects. And that's my concern, is if it's not in it, then we're going to run into a problem unless we go through the whole process.
I see this. You're thinking of the two separate projects.
I'm thinking because of what was already put in for the acceptance of the Second Street crossing. It only went so far. And here we're talking go another three blocks, and that wasn't in the project.
And that's the one thing I would agree with that. Up until this point, we've been discussing Second Street crossing. So now we're kind of jumping out of it. Again, I think it's a good idea to look at that, but I'm also like, this is a very different...
Well, if we're using the money for Second
Street crossing, it's a very different project then. Yeah.
Then it's Second Street crossing project part. If you're looking for Second Street improvement further out, then the project is a different project. The scope is different. And I don't know if you add that into it, we have to go through the whole formality of adding those three blocks in to the Second Street crossing project that has been already put together. I don't know the difficulty of it. That could be something you just say, hey, we're going to amend it by putting three more blocks into the project, but then that ups the cost.
So you're concerned that you can't spend the redesignated money for the Second Street under caution and you can't spend it on something else?
That is probably my biggest concern is to do that.
So we've never been that specific. So as far as like budgetary, from that perspective, we always refer to the Second Street and the crossing, so it's pretty, pretty open. So we don't have to actually go back, there's not really anything. But I will show you, I mean, our discussion has been what we're proposing consistent, what we're talking about. A lot of the focus was with the structural pieces going under, just because it was a major element that was probably the most cost of the whole project. And we're looking at these improvements now, so that crossing in itself is a point. So that's why it was kind of focused from a more of a structural engineering standpoint. That's why a lot of the feasibility work is to make sure that the connections we're going to work with the future bridge and what it's going to work with are structurally going under. So that's what a lot of the feasibility focus was. But from a transportation, kind of go back to the transportation system plan, the intent is to have that road go through sections that don't have road. So you have, you know, especially if you're going to drop $35 million investment, you want it to go all the way through. Like in this case, you know, it doesn't even go through a section where there's no road. I mean, you can essentially land Second Street to where there's a street. So
the idea,
it's always been a purpose, but not.
So the idea is we're going to have to raise bond to do these improvements, right?
Yeah, it happens to be a street bridge bond to do, like, not Second Street, the section that we're talking about right now, we have them, but the undercrossing, the part of the heavy lift requirement, the bond and other.
Right, that is, so now getting back to when you go through.
Time is 8:12, Mark may arrive.
Street crossing section thing, so we go for a bond, certain improvements to Second Street that you talked about today.
So it would go for the more expensive, so it'd be for the.
For the Second Street crossing.
Or if we move forward with the west section, then we would pursue additional plans if you're a bond or other to the main cost of going under walls and connecting the more technical pieces. This part is, even though it's expensive.
But we still got to get bond with this part, right?
Oh, no, we'll have to. This could be an irreparable.
Convert to
Wallace could be an irreparable.
Meaning we have no reserves.
What's that?
That would mean we have no reserves.
I mean, we'll phase it. And Renee will be here, she can speak too. We have enough money to, I mean, we're going to have to set aside.
What's the projected cost of this project?
$8 million.
So what if we were to narrow this down and just do from Patterson to Merlin? Just that little.
So we're looking at Wallace to, so the first phase would be Wallace to Patterson. So.
I was just going to say, and maybe Brandon can clarify, but if this, I don't know this Chris Blacker person, but if he bought a property and has to develop it in 2 years, why would we want to spend money on something that he could tear up for ingress and egress? It just doesn't seem like a good use of funds for us.
Right. Or private access?
You could still punch a road through and do the main utilities. Like, I don't know if there's sewer and storm.
That would be part of our conversation. So right now, as we sit down with the various property owners, we're going to say, all right, we don't want to ruin the roadway, so tell us where you want the driveway access. So we're going to be designing it with driveway points in mind.
Also,
what happens with the business? I see what you're saying. What happens? Business have a different scope.
If the project, how long time will the project take us? Because if it takes a year or two and they have to develop by that time anyway, why won't we just let them develop and save the money for futures? I don't know. I don't want to throw a wrench into it.
Why don't we do it this way? Why don't we do a Second Street East project? It's not east because I don't know where you can consider east on. The Second Street project from GERD to Murlock. And then what we end up doing is having its own entity for the project, the Uber Renewal, and then transfer funds from the Second Street Crossing Reserve into that to help put that into perspective. So that way, down the road, the developer can make the improvements of that area that's in the Second Street crossing plan already, and we're taking from Merlark to Girth and giving it a and then do it that way.
I guess the point is to do the public improvement. We're hoping to encourage redevelopment sooner. So if we get in, we lay it around, and then hopefully they'll follow, you know, so we can do the economy. But now we lift whatever costs to their project that they can dedicate to their other street improvements that do and their redevelopment project. So that's kind of the incentive.
But that makes sense that we've been working the past 6 or 7 years for a Second Street undercrossing, and with the improvements we're doing from Merlars to Wallace aren't taking any considerations. Like, we're spending money that we know, and the grand scheme is going to be taken out because we have to do the under type of stuff. So
the grand scheme could be, you know, anywhere from like 10 years to 57.
Right, and still would function until that point in time. As development happens in 2 years, and whatever happens to grand scheme at that point in time, they would have to fork the bill versus us.
Correct. So let me just take a pause here for a second. I don't know, were you intending to really get into the weeds on the budget?
So I'm making a recommendation to this, and we're moving forward with our budget documents. We'll come here in March for recommendations. So you guys have to vote in your recommendation. So I'd rather flush out some of those details now.
Gotcha.
So
everyone constructed PowerPoints over the next month?
That's right.
Pretty bad.
How much, I don't know, this is, how do we go on record with this? How much, it feels like this, it feels like there's some communication gaps though between, and I point this out, like, so I'm at a Rotary meeting and Mayor Bennett addresses the second street undercrossing and essentially said, that's never going to happen. And so I just want to call out, it seems like there's some gaps though, as we're setting out plans, like, I guess I'm just wondering, is there pressure from council, from mayor, others to not pursue Second Street?
Yes.
Because I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we're not just going to run with an idea and then have public officials say, oh, we're not going to do it. So
I'm not feeling any pressure. It's still the long-term plan. I'm just moving forward. It's either we have a functioning urban renewal area or we're moving forward to help improve redevelopment, or we just basically squirrel money away and there's not really a reason to meet.
Sure.
There are sections that we can move forward with that help encourage redevelopment. So those are things that I'm helping to pursue. I haven't gotten any pressure to say, I know that there's a lot of unknowns. Like, sure. We don't know the Marine Drive politically when that's going to happen. I don't know when a stream bridge is on is going to, sure, and that there will be an earmark allocation for an undercrossing. I don't know when that's going to happen. So I haven't, to answer your question, no one's come to us and said, you need to stop talking about the undercrossing. I'm moving forward with it because that's what traffic analysis has said, that's what engineers have said. So that's the long-term plan. As I'm sitting around these meetings where there could be, rather than having properties just sit vacated, blighted, that's what this is for. So I see an opportunity, and that's why I'm bringing it to you guys to say, since we could do this public benefit lift and improve this section and hopefully see the redevelopment private investment to follow. But I don't know if that's still an unknown too.
I have something really quickly. Just kind of, you know, what we can control. What about West Salem? You know how Kaiser, when you drive into Kaiser, it's got the Kaiser, and it's got the light shoot map and some plants. What happens if we did something like that in West Salem, like coming right over the bridge?
Yeah, we talked about that, of doing something like that. I think that there's an opportunity fund that's less than this
$200,000.
Yeah, $200,000. Something along those lines that we can tap into. It doesn't necessarily affect this $3 million chunk, is my understanding.
So what we want to do.
All in favor?
past history, ODOT.
Not to change the subject, but I do it. You know,
go through ODOT to be able to do it on the corner of Wallace if you wanted to do that. Or now, if you were off of ODOT property somewhere, then it would be up to the city of private sector to allow you to do that. But if you do it anywhere into the right of way of ODOT, you have to go through ODOT.
I think going back, Dwayne, to your comment, I do think that there's resistance to a lot of things right now politically, and to your point, I think that there needs to be some sort of alignment. We're all kind of talking about different things, and until the current council dynamic changes, we're not going to get a Second Street crossing, and we're not going to get, we're just not going to get it.
Sure.
So even though you're not being given pressure or forced to say, hey, stop talking about it, it is what it is, and I think to your point that we are here, ultimately, we are fiduciaries of some dollars, and our responsibility, I think we need to collectively say, do we want to make other improvements, knowing that we're going to bash our faces in going up against something that likely won't happen unless the city council changes, and then again, it could change again in 2 years down the road. So, you know, we're always going to have headwinds depending on where we're at. So I think collectively, we need to decide as a group, do we want to spend some dollars here and there to make West Salem a better place, a more viable place for business to come? Or do we want to hold on to those dollars for something that may or may not happen for 20, 30 years?
And I guess that's the point. I'm trying to address the known. I mean, this is just basic standard streets that, you know, I've been to three different pre-application meetings of all these properties, and they all need to be approved.
Right.
And they're not going to move on because they have other streets that are improved. So it's not just like, oh, I'm just waiting for the city to do that. I think there's a financial risk and opportunity, and so we're trying to dance with them, I guess, help mitigate that.
So it's basically like a double granting. Because they can all apply for the $300,000 max of thing. This is apply another $7 million towards this area. Because they would still have to do these improvements if they were doing the construction, but they would have been capped at $300,000, which is what our grant process is. So this is a way to give them even more of a grant. Is that what it is?
No, it's
chicken or egg.
A street is a public improvement. We're just putting in a street where there isn't a street.
So it does not benefit, it brings me develops there, they don't have to do any of the construction along that currently.
I think we're mixing, so yeah. I clearly have conflict here, right? Everybody understands that. Sorry, I apologize, I had a conflict this morning.
You're a very conflict.
I'm a tortured soul. just trying to put this in perspective. So yes, Brains would benefit, but I'm more excited about like the Merlark to Patterson connection. I mean, again, context. This is the West Salem urban renewal area, and we have what's on screen there, old industrial buildings, there's no street. I mean, like, I don't know, as a citizen, it seems like putting a street where there's no street is sort of a city thing. And where it's platted. It's in the urban renewal area. It's blighted. What do we do here if not do things like this? And yes, on the half street improvement for Rain Sweep, that's not conflicted. But in the big picture, we're connecting the whole Edgewater district and a Safeway all the way through Lawless. That's part of our multi-year vision. It's a published document of this board.
I think we're
this is fundamental to what we do, whether it benefits the half street improvement for Rain Sweep or not. We're frustrated because we can't get the Second Street thing down. We're frustrated on Marine Drive. Like, it's kind of like, here's something that was served up on a platter that's core to what we do. If we're not doing this, I don't know what we do. Especially the connectivity. I mean, that's, I think, the game changer when you start actually making that street connect through from Merlock to Patterson, including a street connection that street. And then the other property that I'm not affiliated with, between Second Street and First Street, is anything happening there where we've got elevation issues?
Right here.
No. Yes.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, you're familiar with what that looks like. It's a really, really, we don't own that, right? It's a really difficult piece of property to develop because of infrastructure, because of elevation, because of requirements. It's right in the middle of this area. I don't know. I just see this as, I mean, again, the street connects all the way back to Safeway on Second.
I think going back to a comment that was made earlier, if we were to finish that Second Street, and all of a sudden that blossoms into, it bears fruit of, okay, now First Street's abandoned, that pit is now more viable, we can fill it, like you said, with those buildings or whatever.
It might not be enough.
If something happens there, I think it would be a good exercise for us to say, well, shoot, there's, right now there's, I don't know if taxes are coming, that are being generated there now.
Yeah, basic property tax, you don't have any building.
Right, so, and all of a sudden, someone puts a $20 million investment in that block, then that repays that $3 million or $7 million, whatever that is, relatively quickly. Whereas if we don't do it, it's guaranteed to sit there for a while and not generate anything for us.
You probably gain some political equity too. I mean, if you, hopefully, if you do that, then people see your commitment to the long-term project. So outside of development, but politically, it might.
I've had a lot of meetings with the neighborhood association, the association. So this is one of those things where it's like, we actually want something. So I think it'd get a lot of people motivated.
Yeah.
Can you zoom in on the, actually, the Rain Suite section? That's one, there's a comment about what was done.
Is there all the infrastructure under that road at this time? All the sewer, water?
I know Goodwill did Second Street. I don't actually.
Is it all up to date all the way to Merlark? I mean, is it?
We did whatever the state told us to do.
So I can show you. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so I understand the whole Second Street, which or the undercrossing, which could be 10 years or never or whatever. We don't know. Like, we've been trying. But on the drawings, it was, I was studying what Goodwill was doing at the time. They knew that they would lose this driveway, an undercrossing or an overcrossing went in. But this driveway, this access point would be retained.
Yeah.
So somewhere in this area is where the street would eventually get torn up. Something's going to happen here to Wallace. Everything here would stay intact. And it would have to, because otherwise Goodwill would be completely shut off.
Right.
So yes, there's a marginal amount, you know, 150 feet or something, or 200 feet, maybe I'm just guessing, up there that would get redone. But you're talking about a massive project. You're talking about rounding error in that project, should it ever happen. So it's not like all the work, all the expense would be sunk, and you get 10 whatever years of use out of it in the meantime. The other thing, just the way, just logistically that I see is, you know, if this group, it's on record of wanting some sort of a crossing, specifically now an undercrossing. I mean, directing that Second Street, connecting it all the way through is sort of, I mean, that's what we can do to say, hey, that's what we see the vision of this area. If we don't take action to like start wiring it that way, what signal is that sending about our desire to get that crossing happening? That's just, and I'm just trying to tie this with everything this board's been doing for a lot of years, predating, you know, my tenure.
So back to the utility comments. So Goodwill ran their utilities from my father. So we're looking to pick up through here, maybe through our half street to get up here. So there are loop connections that have to be made for both sewer and water.
And we have, I don't know how this, I have no idea how that affects our property, but just for the record, we get water and sewer already on our facility.
Bassett.
Yeah, so that's not.
There's more redundant just system needs. So because there hasn't been a road or anything through here to help serve new development, we need the sewer water.
So Tori, are you looking at the idea of just the surface structure, or also including infrastructure and the idea of improvements in that area?
Yeah, no, that'd be part of it. That's why it's
to be more.
So it'd have the water sewer included a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, so putting infrastructure underneath instead of just putting, because if it ever got torn up for the elevation or the elevation.
Yeah, we wouldn't put it out that way.
Okay.
So we'd still the public works are aware of plans to ultimately, you know, if it goes forward, again, this we're talking 10 plus years out, right. You know, if we were to go under, we wouldn't have the sewer water location.
Because it looks like,
Looks like there's something on First. Can we zoom in on First?
Sewer.
Storm or sewer.
And then you got water on Merlark. So
it's very long. We would go down through here, so right now there's a utility we would come up with that.
So in the case, going back to do the improvements from Girth to Merlark, that would have to, you'd get the money from a bond, right?
No, it's not.
We have all the,
$1 million. We have the money.
There's a separate project, and then we add in the two project deal. I'm just concerned about you break into the Second Street crossings schedule when you can get.
So it's not, I understand from your perspective, it's a money pot or it's a project. So the way that we framed it, it's all Second Street. So we have access to those funds. I mean, we could, if we're urgent, we already have budget authority, we can move forward with design and construction. So we're not separating it out as this is only for undercrossing. We think of the whole project as, even though when we wrap around Second Street to the east side, it becomes Marine Drive, it's just easier to think of it as a full extension of Second Street all the way around to Glen Creek.
I'm going to approve this because so we'll do this, now we'll do the other side.
What's that?
Well, Wallace Road to Glen Creek.
Yeah.
We could do that now.
Yeah, sure.
Into the vision of this board.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, that's the plan. We want to wrap around all the way around to Glen Creek, that's the whole plan. Yeah, no, there's no intention of stopping. I mean, if we, there are just too many unknowns with Marine Drive and the undercrossing. If those were set, you know, we knew Marine Drive was, you know, a plan to move forward with the city council, we'd probably just keep, we could probably still pursue this section because I think it helps encourage the redevelopment we're talking about. And plan for that future piece, but the whole project has been that full section of our street, always.
Okay.
I think we've had maybe some issues on the ramps that would connect to the bridge, but as far as Second Street extending all the way to Glen Creek, it's never been. I know their initial plan, they would tie into West Schwab, but the plan has been to be connect to Green Drive all the way to Glen Creek.
Well, I'll be the first to admit, I think originally I'm thinking, Tim, along those lines, I'm thinking we piecemeal this out, it starts to, it doesn't keep the project cohesive. I guess I appreciate Mark pointing out, like, essentially where that, if an undercrossing goes in, essentially from that line on, I guess, what, west, it needs to be developed. So, I mean, as I see that, I'm like, this is a good opportunity, right? I mean, this is, so again, I appreciate the, presenting something that we can do in the short term, I think, it helps me.
I think coming into with the street and within, you know, within limits as far as cost, and that's something we'll bring to the group, like, okay, we're looking at these plans for a street design. Because we do want to encourage that same kind of like Edgewater district build. So we want to make sure that you have sidewalk connectivity, bike elements, street escape elements, so it's a field. So you can start the groundwork for a district build you want to have, and then hopefully persuade the development community to follow through on their piece. And we'll be doing that too, because we don't really want to have a conversation where we put $7 million into the district and then it doesn't meet a vision. So that'd be a hard conversation to you guys and other people. So we'll be at the table and hopefully try to influence, you know, an outcome for this year.
So is there an action?
Not today, we're just talking next month will be in action.
Prior to that action, is there some recon that can be done with Blackburn regarding his intentions or something?
He had offered to come to the meeting.
Maybe we should update.
I'm not sure, you know, what his plans are completed. Yeah, it's like near term is kind of how he can use the building in the long term, but I don't know what.
Who is Blackburn?
Chris Blackburn is the guy that bought it.
Oh,
the developer. He bought the property. He owns quite a few properties.
He owns Ori Group. It's not Paul anymore.
No, they sold it the first year.
Chris. I think, no, Chad?
Chris.
Chris.
Okay. So they bought all of Ori Group and then that little lot.
Yeah.
Is he like a company or is he individual?
He's an individual. He and his brother started out by repurposing phone systems, and they had a building downtown, and they parlayed that. I mean, they've done well for themselves as far as parlaying that into, they bought the Patterson Street building, which is where Little Lois is.
Chicha.
And they repurposed that.
Sounds a good sound. Prospect.
They repurposed some stuff out on Portland Road and Lancaster, done some development. They're kind of, their hands are in a lot of different pots right now, multifamily stuff. And so he sold the building on Patterson and acquired this.
So now this discourages you guys from being individually, but he's also offered to come out and speak.
Yeah, any having come out there?
Although our March meeting is really full, so it has to be after that. Like March, we have Mary from Lincoln Street. I'll say one.
Let's say, I'm just trying to think this through. If we go ahead and do this thing, and then the city council says, yes, let's do Second Street under contract. Will this set us back by doing both of these projects?
I mean, we'll still be saving for Second Street, just saying, let's do Second Street. You know, let's just say, I want Second Street under crossing. You still have to have the connecting pieces. So have the under crossing in itself doesn't solve it. We talk about it as pieces. So we have these sections of the west piece that don't have road element, like Second Street. And then we have also the connection all the way to Glen Creek and Marine Drive, those pieces. And then the undercrossing, so all three pieces. So for them to say, and again, I haven't heard, there might be political meetings where they say, I think from their perspective, I can't really speak for them, but it's a long term, like no one sees that future where, yeah, next street bridge is bond. We anticipate that going out to voters like in 2 years. You know, there's not that certainty. So for someone to say, you know, that's, you know, I think Marine Drive where it is to say that Second Street is a sure thing is, you know, that's a hard one to sell when you don't know where it's going to land.
Because I remember correctly, we were saving up for the design piece, which was 10% of the overall cost. And that way, once we get the design piece, then we can go get the grants that we need from federal state.
By doing this section of Second Street, we'll have it, and we can still put this after the fact, save money, and design, and construct the other piece. But that's a good point. You know, you just keep it set aside, and I hope that, you know, we have all the money in place, and there's political will to do the other piece, and then we do the second, the other process. Yeah, I mean, that's, do that, that's another, that's a recommendation you can make rather than make a recommendation. You can just say, let's continue to save and do the full plan of doing Second Street, focus on the intercrossing, and just save the money.
Because the goal was $3 million for the design of it, right?
Yeah.
I think that's probably a reality. It has the potential to set us back on that. On the flip side, it has the potential to draw in other developers and business and increase tax increment on a short. I mean, so there's an I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we know the answer.
Well, it'd be good to have just an update. I'm happy to reach out to Chris unless you know him.
I don't know him that well. I've met him a couple times, but
just to be able to update the group maybe next month, not necessarily have them come in and do a presentation, just to kind of see where he's at, short-term, long-term plans with the entire site, or maybe sections of the site. I think that would help us kind of understand what tax increment financing or back instruments is going to help us.
So they've offered an update, just they see the value, obviously, in Second Street. So that's where they said you have to speak to our finance group. So.
But especially, I feel like that Deacon project that happened over on Edgewater, like if they would have came to us earlier, we would have directed it, like, back them up and had it back. And we would have had a mixed use possibly over in that thing if we would have known what they were going to do instead of having what they currently have. So it's where I think it's more important to have them earlier on in that conversation than later on after they go to the neighborhood association and get shot down on whatever they want to do because they're not developing in the neighborhood.
And I do, I mean, this is down the road. That's what I do want us to be conscious of that. How can we support folks that want to develop? And again, head things off a little bit better. Because I feel like Deacon on that Wallace Glen Creek was called the victim of it. I feel like it was a bad setup, and there's a lot of pushback that changed their project dramatically. And I agree. I think there's ways we might be able to support them on the front side. So.
We are falling really behind on the agenda, so if
I just have a couple more things to touch on what you'll see in the document. So the next piece is the redevelopment grant. So we average about 3 projects per fiscal year, with the average grant being around 100,000, so 1.9 million match. So we have a carryover we anticipated 700,000, so the project's been a little smaller recently. So the maximum grant amount that could be eligible for a given project is a match of $300,000. We try to keep for a fiscal year anticipating, you know, if it happens that way, even our average is $131,000. If there are big projects, we want to have the money available so we can help finance the $300,000 project. So that's where the recommendation would be to have additional $200,000 in the next fiscal year added, so we have that $900,000.
Or is it, what does it take to get the max 300? Is it 1.2?
Yeah. It's an 8. So the opportunity fund, given the savings in addition to the Second Street, just holding on to 200,000. So that's to stand your point. You know, we've had a small project discussions, gateway kind of projects. If that's something we want to pursue, we have to just have to flush out the details a little more on those locations, but we do have that money set aside to help do smaller projects, connecting parks or connecting to trails to the river or gateway. So those are things that we carry over. So that's what I have for our budget. So the next is just a breakout table showing projects in the renewal plan, projects in the action plan, and then and then as a supplement, as an attachment, there's a section of the plan, the original plan, that highlights the progress and goals and objectives. So if you want to have your own draft, go through any comments.
What's the projection cost for the 2020 year for the grant expenditure? You have up to 19, but right now there's no projects that are being used in the 20 on the grant development.
Right now we're machinery putting in more automated type of equipment. I was toward the facility yesterday. They're doing a lot more high-tech investments. They're talking about like in processing, like it used to be, they do certain big heavy metal pieces by hand, and then they have to do it individually. And sometimes it's tough to line up all pieces. So now they can do like within a 50-minute time frame. Now they can do three. So they're really streamlining, automating a lot of their processes. So we had these are all taxable investments, like these big manufacturing equipment pieces. So that's one. We have a building on in on Third Street office building that's that has the wall going up. So that's but these are all parts of that they're already committed. So when we speak to the 200,000 and this next recommended, that eats at that 700. So to get to that 900,000, we don't have anything that's going beyond. So far we don't have anything that goes beyond like we're already committed. So we have the office building, West Salem machinery, and then investments in true the plan too. So, Second story off.
I sure would like to have a field trip and go see West Salem Machine or some of those other things that we're giving grants to. I like that sort of ball.
Yeah, West Salem Machine is pretty fun. Yeah. It's amazing that the scale, the pieces, the equipment they move out of there, you know, given the location and everything. It's amazing.
They do some big stuff.
Yeah.
I think similarly, this grant program was used for the new physical therapy there on Patterson and Second. Was it Patterson and Second? And we got to tour that. That was a really a neat project, I think, and really good for West Salem. So I think when
we
throw $1,000, it'd be kind of neat to see it. Yeah. Not necessarily in this time, although this is kind of boring sometimes, it'd be kind of neat to go through that. But, it would be kind of neat.
I can see, about as projects get completed.
Do we have a requirement that once the grant is completed, they have to put some signage on another project brought to you by the West Salem Redevelopment?
Yeah, they usually do. We try to put it up where we have construction fencing, so it's actually visible. Yeah. But whereas inside, like a West Salem Machine, this is a huge footprint, and it's not really identifiable. It's not inside of the building, so it's like, I don't know, have something. It's So it's something that we can do. We don't really have anything with construction fencing. You know, we had to like create a wall that was very visible, it's right on the fence. And I tried to get something put up at Third Street, but there's just nothing there. You know, so we don't really have, besides we have to hold anything where you can see the dirt. So it just wasn't a way to have it on display unless we just sit on the ground. So
did you have to offer up, I'm sure it's done, we're going to have our meeting at the
That's a good one.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Cool.
Thank you.
Cool. For that, for Tim, you have to break down of the grants, Tim and that team. If you wanted to see full grant allocation.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a 1.2 million on each of the machinery and the office complex or none? You said 1.2 maximizes 300,000. Are they both $1.2 million projects are going in?
Oh, no, they're not. Yeah. What we're putting out right now, so like Third Street, I think it's $60,000 to move the rent possibly.
Is it 1.2 or 1.5 for the max? It's 80-20, 1.5. 1.5. So 1.5, that was my error, I said 1.2.
It's not a mathematical genius, man.
No, we've only had three, I think, four.
You corrected yourself, so you're doing something more correct.
The clinic on Patterson, was a full 300, one creek walls.
There's only been two, as I saw.
All right, Tori, well, thank you very much for all those updates. We'll obviously be talking more about it in March with the approval of the budgets. Moving on, for Edgewater Partnership, let's say with this association, things of that nature.
Oh, yeah. Can you do the calendar?
Well, really quickly, I'll do the calendar.
Oh, shoot.
I won't take too much time. I just want to give you a sense. So,
you're talking about the last thing
you got a lot of it. Yeah. Looks like this, we can tear down the top. So the top, I just figured, you know, we're on a fiscal year budget-wise, it's good to get a sense of what's anticipated over the calendar year. So I put this table at the top to bring it up to that January 1 being canceled. Float the idea of July. We're not as close to July 4th, but it's close enough that you guys might want to cancel it, so just to anticipate being on board. All the other meetings are planned, and then as you go down the document, plan the references, the budget timing, the actions that we're anticipating so far. So March being the budget, in August, the first meeting, work out the July meeting will be the first meeting of the fiscal year. So that's where you elect the chair and vice chair. And as far as other actions, we discussed congestion relief and other items that could come to the group for action. So we'll talk about that as we get further in the calendar year. And as far as updates, in March, we'll have ODOT come out. So Mary, she's managing the project for the Wallace paving. That's, I believe, anticipated in the summer. So she'll come and speak to what that project entails. Be sure how they're going to manage traffic flow through Wallace, things like that. Oh, and she, okay, cool. So she'll be at the March meeting, so she'll have time for that. Also have Renee, again, from our office, talking to me about the budget. So that's where we discuss and for you guys to give a recommendation for the budget. We'll also have Aaron Edelman. He's the code of works engineer that's done this cost estimate for our 7th Street. So as we get into budget details, if you have more specific questions you want to ask engineering, he'll be there too, so we can ask some questions. So that's what we're planning for March. We've got a pretty full meeting in April. Full county commissioner update, so it's his final board first as the representative for the area. Come out and give an update from the whole county perspective. And then in June, following up with Eunice Kim with her power sale comp plan, update, just want to make sure that this group follows that project, is, it feels like you're connected and weighing in on how that shaped that. So, kind of figure out. Then, right now, I'm anticipating, you know, if we, it's recommended to move forward with Second Street, we bring an engineering consultant on board to do design. We'll want to talk about ideas for what that street looks like, connections for it. And it'll mostly be updates, so in that case, we'll have, again, probably a consultant come out and speak. So, right now, I put it in as August, condition relief and neighborhood association, like we did, I think, last November, October, whatever. So that's just maintaining connection to our business association groups and our neighborhood association. So happy to adjust this if you think of something you want to hear from. I made note too, you know, we want to bring in our grant recipients as an update, we bring them in for some of the meetings. So I'm sure. Yeah.
I see that. That's after hours.
Yeah, because if we're all gathered there, we're going to have a public meeting.
That's not many people.
So, yeah.
We talked about that.
Only half of us could get up, or less than that.
And there's a quorum.
Shifts.
I'm not driving down, so I'm out. Sorry.
All right, well, moving on. Sam, is there anything you want to talk about with the neighborhood or the business association?
We're having our board meeting this afternoon at 3 o'clock Salem Electra. We started last month, in February. Very beginning of January, the morning greeters, which some of you were there, thank you so much. Some of you aren't. But I felt like it was a success. Brandon, Tim, it was just like probably close to 50 people, which was super great. We're continuing that on a monthly, so we're going to have the elections last Thursday of each month, and then every month the business has each Wednesday or Thursday. It's the 12th and the 13th of February. It's at G2 Landscaping. It used to be Green Thumb Landscaping. So they'll be ghosting. So we're just trying to ramp up the business neighborhood. I would encourage everyone, member or non-member, doesn't matter, to please join.
And is it on the 13th or the 12th? Do you know?
Yes, I do.
I
pulled on my calendar. I need it out. It's the 13th. 13th of February, due to landscaping on the
22nd. And
then
the time?
8 a.m.
So 8 a.m. on the 13th?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's good. It was also there at the January. So, yeah.
And the Christmas decorations are taken down.
Thank you. Dwayne, anything from Edgewater?
I think the biggest thing, conversations are starting for the Thursday market, so it's just to be aware of. The Wednesday market that they had downtown, they're discontinuing that, so I think they're hoping that it draws in more attention for the Thursday one. West Salem. So eventually market folks would love to actually move east, kind of down the Greenway to larger spaces if it keeps growing. So so again, that development piece that we're looking at could be a good opportunity. So that's a big thing.
It'll still be during the day hours, not in the evening?
Yeah, there's conversation. I think they're looking at the day because of the vendors, but I think there's conversation that we're trying to see if they want to pilot like one or two evenings just to see if we can get a larger crowd.
Sure.
And so obviously it'll be market driven. So
yeah.
If there's more, if it's better for vendors, they'll probably switch their schedule. So so if you have some ideas, there's some ideas to try to do an evening.
Yeah, I think a pilot would be a good one.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good news.
In the summertime, kids are out, you know, walk down there for the evening.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah. They're trying to look to see, I mean, we're trying to see, could we do it in cooperation with the concert at the park, so at West Salem Park?
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Just because of the crowd, so just talking about parking and all those things, so.
Has anyone had an opportunity to go to the neighbor association meetings lately?
I went last time.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it was uneventful.
That's good.
I mean, we went through the process of all the groups talking. However, there wasn't anything on, there's just reporting of committees.
Gotcha.
There's no action items. Their biggest concern, there was conversation about the homeless. City council was, it was just before city council planning to meet, making decisions. That was, I think, the larger discussion was about the homeless.
Yeah, big issue in the city, no doubt about it. Shifting gears over, has anyone been following the burn plant and what potentially happened there in Brooks? That's going to affect potentially all of us in Salem if that thing closes down. There's some national credit dollars that are coming through the state, and currently the legislature during the short session is, there's a big movement to get rid of those. Therefore, Covanta would not be receiving those grants, and therefore it would potentially shut that burn site down, which then is, turns into a whole thing about where does trash and refuse go and what happens. And there's discussions of having it railed to Idaho and having it taken elsewhere, either out of state, Coffin Butte there, down towards Corvallis is in that mix, but for so long it's not a permanent solution. So at the chamber, I think most people know I'm pretty involved in the chamber, and tomorrow morning we're having a public policy meeting. Even if you're not a member of the chamber, I've got the county coming in, I've got people that are for and against coming in to argue for or against the burn plant, and it's going to be pretty educational. So feel free to come down, even if you're not a member, tomorrow, 7 a.m. at the chamber offices there on Commercial Street North. But that's a big thing that could potentially affect all of us in our expenses. So I wanted to highlight it before the meeting was over. Anything else for the good of the order?
You have one more subject?
What's that?
You have 3 minutes? You have one more subject, next meeting topics?
Is anyone having meeting topics?
That's pretty well said. You have ODOT and
budget. Rather hit, I think for the sake of Mary's time, it'd be good to get ODOT out of the way, but if there's a lot of questions, I'd hate to miss or push the budget piece out too far, so how would you rather hit the budget first and then go to Paul's?
Is Renee coming?
Renee will be there, yeah.
So let us know what potential for what we're going to get.
Yeah.
I would not want to waste ODOT's time, but if someone's going to be here, and I think if we just run the meeting accordingly, we give them X amount of time, and if we just have to keep it to that timeline, yeah, and then we can let it go, and then we have to extend for budget, we can do that.
Gateway Monuments?
Disagree. Yeah. What's that?
About the Gateway or the Monuments, or the West Salem, like, you know, the West Salem.
In the budget?
Can you discuss that? No, she's looking at why get ODOT's approval.
Or, well, depending on location.
Will they hear mostly speak to the project they're working on? I don't know if she'll be able to say, like, the relocation or anything like that. That could be an ongoing conversation. We have the planning site side, but we don't have the player.
Okay.
I would agree though.
So to your point, maybe we get that on the agenda, maybe not necessarily for March, but for April, and that way we can have some discussion to get it moving forward or something.
Yes.
And Blackburn in April too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, with that, everybody, we are going to adjourn. Dead on time. Are you kidding me?
All right.
That's never happened.
Awesome. See you, Brandon.
See you,
Brandon. Meeting adjourned. 9 a.m.